بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, let's begin and continue with our study of the metaphysics of Islam. Okay, so we're talking about secularism here now. We're moving on to secularism. If you remember the last lesson, we looked at the dunya and we looked at the idea that the world cannot really be developed in a real sense because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given us this world in some form, in a perfect sense, okay? And for us as believers, as Muslims, development, if you like, success must be aligned with the final objective, which is the Akhirah. And in popular discourse, this is completely absent. Nobody talks about the life to come, right? For us, the life to come, to move on to the next life, the final abode. Anyway, the Latin saeculum in its original sense relates to the doctrinal formations of the Western Christian religious tradition. So secular or saeculum has a Christian origin. The true meanings couched in it, however, gradually asserted their intentions in the experience and consciousness of Western man extending over a period of more than seven centuries of intellectual and scientific development until their full implications have become actualized. Whereas originally, the term secular from saeculum conveyed a spatio-temporal connotation, as can be understood from the way it was used, the order of precedence in the formation of the dual meaning has now undergone a change, emphasizing the temporal rather than the spatial aspect. Right, so we've moved from a spatial to a we've emphasizing a temporal aspect related to time. Okay, so the original spatial temporal connotation is derived historically out of the experience and consciousness born of the fusion of the Greco-Roman and Judaic traditions in Western Christianity. So that's the origin of secular. It is a fusion, the word he uses is fusion, of the mutually conflicting elements of Hellenic and Hebrew worldviews which have deliberately been incorporated into Christianity that modern Christian theologians and intellectuals recognize as problematic, right? Like if you look at Islam, we don't have this. We don't have alien, or we don't have a fusion of Hellenistic or Hellenic or Hebrew connotations, right? It's purely from, it's fitra, it's pure, very pure, right? Christian theologian and intellectual recognized as problematic in that the former views existed as basically spatial, Hellenic, and the latter as basically temporal, right? So existence is spatial, comes from this Hellenic idea, and the Hebrew idea of temporal. So it comes from the spatial-temporal fusion. The arising confusion of worldviews becomes the root of their epistemological and hence also theological problems, right? It's a hodgepodge. Since the world has only in modern times been more and more understood and recognized by them as historical, the emphasis on the temporal aspect of it has become more meaningful and has conveyed a special significance to them, right? So there's an emphasis on the temporal aspect. For this reason, they exert themselves in efforts emphasizing what they conceive to be the Hebrew vision of existence, which they think is more congenial with the spirit of the times, and denouncing the Hellenic as a grave and basic mistake. So they now say the concept of the secular conveys a markedly dual connotation of time and location, the time referring to the now or present sense of it, and a location to the world or worldly sense of it. So time is about now, the now, and location is about the world. This saeculum is interpreted to mean basically this age or the present time. And this age or the present time refers to events in this world, and it also means contemporary events. It's all about the now, it's all about this world. So they have a focus. Remember what he said before in the previous video, we talked about, for us, it's about the Akhirah, right? For the life to come. For them, it's the now, right? And it's about this age and this world. The emphasis of meaning is set on a particular time or period in a world viewed as historical process. The concept of secular refers to the condition of this world at this particular time or period or age. Already here we discern a germ of meaning that easily develops itself naturally and logically into the existence of context of ever-changing world in which there occurs the relativity of human values, right? So as soon as you start adopting this worldview, you kind of see that this world is ever-changing and values become relative. And this natural and logical development of the concept of secular is now taking place in contemporary modern Western civilization, which is propagating it throughout the world. We must see, right? We must see, so we'll stop here for a moment. So it's very important here, the concept secular refers to the condition of this world at this particular time or period or age. It's all about the now, right? And you can see how, because of that, you know, there's no real concern about the future or the past is seen as somehow redundant. Right? It has nothing to offer. And it's about the now. And it's all about this world. They've cut themselves off completely from the afterlife. Right? So because of that, because they're not rooted anymore, right? The germ of meaning that easily develops itself naturally, logically into the existential context of an ever-changing world. Things are just constantly in flux, right? Post-modernity. And so there's just relative human values, right? If there's no what's right or wrong, values are just dictated by the whims of society. We must see, in view of the fact that secularization is not merely confined to the Western world, that their experience of it and their attitude toward it is most instructive for Muslims, right? So he's talking about Muslims now. We must be made aware that secularization, in the way in which it is also happening in the Muslim world, does affect our beliefs and way of life, even if not in the same way it does the beliefs and way of life of Western man. Because problems arising out of secularization, though not quite the same as those besetting the West, have certainly caused much confusion in our midst. We've been affected by it, if you want to think about the Muslim world. It is not surprising that these problems are caused due to the introduction of Western ways of thinking and judging and believing, emulated by some modernists as well as traditionalist Muslim scholars and intellectuals who have been unduly influenced by the modern West and overawed by its scientific and technological achievements. He's having a dig here. It's a polite way of having a dig here. Right? They've been overawed by this, by Western supremacy, if you like, or Western values, and overawed by scientific and technological achievements, who by virtue of the fact that they could do so readily be thus influenced, betray their lack of true understanding and full grasp of both the worldviews of Islam and of the modern West, and the essential beliefs and modes of thought that project them. The fact that you've been overawed, the fact that you've been influenced, the fact that you see this as a better way of life or a better way of existence shows, he says, that you never understood Islam in the first place. You never understood the deen of God, of Allah, right? The fact that you have embraced this worldview, which is filled with problems and contradictions, shows that you never really understood Islam, right? And this is why it's very, very important that we understand our religion thoroughly, because once you have that rootedness, once you understand the usul and the principles of Islam, you know, nothing else can be quite compared to it, okay? So they have, because of their influential positions in Muslim societies, these people that he's talked about before, become conscious and unconscious disseminators of unnecessary confusion that is founded upon a crisis of identity. The situation in our midst can indeed be seen as critical when we consider the fact that Muslims are generally unaware of what the secularization process implies. It is therefore essential that we obtain a clear understanding of it from those who know and are conscious of it, who believe and welcome it, who teach and advocate it to the world, right? So we need to know what secularism is. So now he's going to go into it. He's obviously not said that he's an expert, but he's going to talk about his understanding of secularization. So this is important. Secularization is defined as the deliverance of man first from religious, then from metaphysical control over his reason and his language. Right? It is the setting free of the world from religious and semi-religious understandings of itself, the dispelling of all closed worldviews, the breaking of all supernatural myths and sacred symbols, the defatalization of history, the discovery by a man that he has been left with the world on his hands, that he can no longer blame fortune or the furies for what he does with it, right? So talking about other religious ideologies, it is man turning his attention away from the worlds beyond and towards this world and this time, the now. Right? Do what you want, because there's no akhirah, there's no world to come. Again, seculum, right? This idea of time and space. Time is now, space is this world. The whole thing has been reconceptualized, right? Secularization encompasses not only the political and social aspects of life, but also inevitably the cultural, for it denotes the disappearance of religious determination of symbols of cultural integration. And you can see how aggressive it is now, right? It's become a beast unto itself. It's become a religion unto itself, right? It doesn't tolerate even religion in a public sphere. It implies an irreversible historical process in which culture and society are delivered from tutelage to religious control and closed metaphysical worldviews. It is considered, he's using phrases here, right? Quote unquote. It is considered a liberating development, and the end product of secularization is historical relativism. Hence, according to them, history is a process of secularization. The integral components in the dimension of secularization are a disenchantment of nature, the desacralization of politics, and the deconsecration of values. By the disenchantment of nature, the term and concept borrowed from the German sociologist Max Weber, he means the freeing of nature from its religious overtones. Yeah, which means to deprive nature of spiritual meaning. Subhanallah, right? Completely detached from nature, so that man can act upon it as he pleases and make use of it according to his needs and plans, and hence create historical change and development, so-called development. By the desacralization of politics, they mean the abolition of sacred legitimation of political power and authority, which is the prerequisite of political change, and hence also social change, allowing for the emergence of historical process. By the desconsecration of values, they mean rendering transient and relative all cultural creations and every value system. Nothing's valued anymore. Nothing's sacred anymore. Everything's up for grabs, which for them include religion and worldviews having ultimate and final significance, so that in this way, history, the future is open to change, and man is free to create a change and immerse himself in the evolutionary process. Right, you take God completely out of the equation. This attitude toward values demands an awareness on the part of secular man of the relativity of his own views and beliefs. Right, it's all relative. He must live with the realization that he rules, and ethical course of conduct which guide his own life will change with the times and generation. It just changes. Things just come and go. Something's good today, it's wrong tomorrow. Something's bad today, tomorrow it's sacred. Right? There's no rootedness. This attitude demands what they call maturity, and hence secularization is also a process of evolution of the consciousness of man from the infantile to the mature states, and is defined as the removal of juvenile dependence from every level of society. The process of maturing and assuming responsibility, also the removal of religious and metaphysical supports and putting man on his own. Right? So they've got rid of this. They further say that this recurring change of values is also a recurring phenomenon of conversion, which occurs at the intersection of the action of history on man and the action of man on history, which they call responsibility, the acceptance of adult accountability. Thus, as already mentioned, they visualize the contemporary experience of secularization as part of the evolutionary process of human history, right? We're getting better. For us, it's rootedness in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. That's the best time for us, right? That's our worldview. For them, the best is yet to come. We're getting better. Forget the history, forget the past. They never knew anything better. We know better, right? This sort of arrogance. So this evolutionary process of human history as part of the irreversible process of coming age, of age, of growing up to maturity, whatever they call it, when they will have to put away childish things and learn to have the courage to be, right? We'll get rid of our childishness. We'll get to a stage where, you know, we'll be free from all of this, okay? We'll stop here and then we'll continue next week. And we'll go into some really, really interesting detail about all of this, inshallah.